Is it really difficult for salespeople to know what to do? It becomes really difficult from a management and a leadership perspective of how do I get my sales team to perform even better?
Sell the metal! Sell the metal! Sell the metal! Sell the metal! Sell the metal!
So welcome to the Never Settle Radio podcast. I'm sitting here with Chris Goffert. Many of you will already know who the fuck he is. Many of you will not. He's here helping us build out the coolest sales program in the world to actually help us scale the sales team up quite a few bit at the same time too. And he's actually a part for the second time, the predictable sales team.
Yeah.
Maybe third or sixth.
Second official time. Did I ever really leave?
Like second or third or fifth or whatever else that it is, but...
I've been around for a minute.
Yeah. So what we're here to chat about today is all things to do with our sales and sales team. And something that's sort of come up that's really interesting as of recent, and this podcast is going to be about how to destroy your sales team and never have them want to work for you ever again. Sound like a good one?
Yep. Kill or be killed.
No, really, it's about how to make sure you don't fuck it up and you can actually have a sales team that are really high performing and actually want to work within and under you, because we noticed some shit that's really, 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 really common as of late. And if you guys stick around, you'll enjoy it. So let's talk about it, right? So Chris and I have been recruiting a bunch of new sales team for the past couple of weeks, 2 weeks. We've spoken to something like, I think it's about 19 people.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And within each of those, we came across a few different things that were really kind of alarming, right? Like some of the people we were speaking to, some of the reps were, you know, really good sales reps in other really well-known fucking companies across the industry. Names that you would know, big sales training companies you would know, or big brands that they are currently working for There's actually a couple that were still working and had, my favorite actually was that they were booking meetings with us on their company email.
Yeah, that was a favorite for me too.
That was a favorite for sure. But there was a real commonality between these guys who are on teams that for all intent and purpose, I'm sitting there going like, why the fuck would you want to leave it? Great brand, great influencer that runs the opportunity that they're in. And like, it just baffled me, right? And we had the opportunity to obviously fucking, you know, speak to like 18 or 19 of these guys collectively. None of the CEOs of those companies were responsible to a KPI, and none of them were sitting there, because like, how many of them could answer the question, you know, what were your KPIs?
Yeah, none.
Not one of them could answer the question, when you were at your best, what was it that you were doing monthly revenue wise? What were you doing? Actual appointments set, actual deals closed. And what was the expectation in KPI? And like, how many of them had an answer?
Zero, which concerned me a lot. One of the things that you'll see with high performers in any field, whether it be business, whether it be sport, you know, investing, they all track certain numbers, certain metrics. And to see people working for leaders in the industry and not actually know the numbers and not know the targets that they were, you know, being held accountable to, definitely caused some concern. It probably caused more surprise than concern at first.
I think it's absurd.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. I've never worked in a business that doesn't have KPIs, OKRs.
Bro, you and I both, for any that you don't, any of you who don't know, Baxter and Chris and I, this would be interesting for people who just watch the shit that we do here, right? Like, we first met each other, fucking hated each other. Still kind of do. It's a different, it's an interesting concept. We both came from a background of like fitness, both worked in the supplement world, both did really well fairly fucking quickly in and around the actual, like the sales function of that. And not one day was I ever sitting there going like, what am I going to do? I fucking knew what I needed to do. Stephen Hines was...
Are we allowed to say his name?
he was not letting us up on shit, right?
Yeah, I don't think any business that I worked with in that industry didn't have very clear KPIs.
Yeah.
Like very clear. Right down to how many visits you would do a day,
you know, there was obviously budgets that you had to hit, but then they break it down. How many visits do you need to do in a week? How many in a day? How many training sessions do you need to do, you know, across the course of a month? You know, how many new product bundles do you need to sell? So everything was broken down into metrics that were measured, which determined, were you good or were you not so good?
Well, how the fuck do you know what to do on a day if you don't have, I guess, two things, right? Like, you don't know where you're meant to be going because there's no fucking KPI attached to something. But, like, how can you assess where you are right now? Like, how can you assess if you're doing good or not? Like, I think it's absurd.
Yeah, I think that, and I'll blame the pandemic for this a little bit. There was a big push for autonomy in the workplace. And when people started working remotely, you know, I think businesses wanted to create a little bit more of an autonomous environment, but I think it's gone way beyond autonomy. It's now gone to very little accountability. And off the back of that, what happens is it makes it really difficult for salespeople to know what to do. It becomes really difficult from a management and a leadership perspective of how do I get my sales team to perform even better? What are they doing well? What aren't they doing so well? I think that this whole, you know, we're going to give our team autonomy and flexibility has probably gone almost too far. You know, as a business leader, one of the things that I look at is I want my team to be able to have a feeling of autonomy, but at the same time, a feeling of accountability. There needs to be a real balance, and having KPIs, OKRs, you know, from a higher level will certainly give your team a much clearer guide of expectation. But I think it also allows them to feel like they're actually achieving something. If there's a target and they're hitting that target, they then have the opportunity to feel like a contributor. If you don't have a target, then are you really contributing to the overall performance of the business? And if so, how do you measure that?
Well, one of the guys we ended up hiring, right? Who I'm really excited to get started as well. I think something that a lot of people don't consider when it does come to hiring team is how much of it doesn't actually sit back and fall on how much money they make, right? Because there were dudes who were like, they were making decent money. And I was just like, what has you want to leave that opportunity in particular, if that makes sense, right? And like, again, working for awesome influencers who like, some of which Chris and I know and like actually are friends with, just like, why would you want to leave the guy we know? Right?
Good dude, good business.
Yeah. It just sort of, it baffled me. And one of the guys we did end up hiring was like, well, I'm not being challenged. Right? And my first question when I heard that was like, well, what are the KPIs? He's like, huh? I'm like, ah, okay. But funnily enough, out of all the dudes, it's probably one of the reasons that we ended up hiring, was like, he's tracking his own numbers.
Yep.
He had his own tracking sheet. He could tell us exactly how many people he'd reached out to, exactly how many people he'd set, and exactly how many of them had closed at the same time as well. And my question was like, well, if the offer owner or the business owner hadn't actually influenced you to do so, like, what was it that made you want to do it? And he was like, I just want to know how to be better. And the amount of people that probably think that most sales guys only end up wanting to be in a role to make money only goes like 30% of the way, in my opinion.
I'd agree. I'd say it wouldn't be any more than 30. It plays a part, but it's not the majority of the thing.
You've got that. You've got career development. And you've got culture, right?
You're spitting facts.
Spitting facts, right? But the culture side too, right? Like we have the joke of, not joke, it's like, but the cultural terminology of like metal seller, right? And it doesn't take a long time for you to work out what it means if you're aware of what our culture is like. And like a metal seller is someone just like, they just shut the fuck up and get the job done, right? Like
sell the metal.
They just sell the metal, right? Like no matter what the criteria of the thing is, they just get the fucking thing done.
Actually, that brings up a really good point. On the metal selling, one of the fellows that we spoke to.
Two.
Actually, yeah, it was two. Both brought up, what is this metal selling thing? One of them actually knew what it was, but.
And he wanted to become one.
He's like, what is this metal selling thing? I want in.
He wanted to become one.
Not just internally has this culture been created, but externally as well. So people within, you know, the group that we've built, the community we've built, that has then started to spill out beyond that group, which I think highlights
you know, and again, it still comes back to the KPIs. You know, we're metal sellers, but the top metal sellers know how much metal to sell and they know what metal to sell.
100%. And to go back to the point of like the cultural element of that, right? You know, we've been speaking a lot about sporting teams and how it pertains and relates to like business and the teams and the different departments that live within a business as well, right? Because you've got client success and you've got sales and you've got operations and how they all move together like a basketball team would, defense, offense, and then you've got Michael Jordan, fucking Dennis Rodman.
Just does it all.
Just does it all. But the idea is, right, like the people want to join the NBA because it's the pinnacle of all of it and they want to get to the height and peak of who they can be, right? Salespeople are the fucking same. It's actually not even just salespeople, just anyone that is in a role, in my opinion, where they're dealing with other people and it's something that's really high skilled. They want to, in many cases, be perceived better than someone else, but also pushing to be better than yesterday or something to the effect of that. That does not happen without having clear-cut KPIs, clear-cut expectations, and a clear-cut plan on how that person can go from where they are to where they want to be. And what's the benchmark then, right? Like, if they want to be every rep wants to start, I want 10 grand a month, right? What's the activity to get to 10 grand a month, right? I don't know.
I guess.
And I think this is an interesting one too, and something that I try to share with a lot of our clients too, right? It's like one of the guys we were interviewing, I even said to him like, hey man, like one of the biggest things that I really work on is like having our offer and our company be a place that someone can see themselves making the money in, really clearly explaining the pathway to doing so, but then also career development too, right? And then having that culture where like, you'll know from our content whether you want to work for us or not.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Very, very, very quickly.
There's a few F-bombs that get dropped here. If
the fuck do you mean my mom?
if you're a little sensitive to that, it's probably not the place.
The fuck do you mean by that? But the other part too, right, is like if you do not have these things in place, right, like if you are the business owner who doesn't yet have a sales team, I think the question is like, can they look at you and see themselves being able to become the version of themselves they want to be? Can they see themselves become that metaphorical Michael Jordan in sales, right? Can they see that you have a clear development pathway for them for that? And do they believe that you can actually help them get there?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big part of it too, right?
Yep.
How many people do you think that do not have a very clear-cut KPI would be able to very clearly influence someone and continue to influence someone and very clearly show them and prove to them that you can get to 20, 30 grand a month with us without these things in place?
It would be extremely unlikely. If it was to happen, it would be more fluke than skill and ability, I would suggest. So I doubt, and I also doubt that it would be sustainable and you couldn't repeat it over and over. Mm. You might get one stud that comes in and just crushes because they're just good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got people that are decent, it's going to be very difficult to repeat that process unless there are clear metrics to measure their performance. You're not measuring the performance, you can't manage the performance, you can't manage the performance, you don't know what to work on to improve their outcomes.
As I'm hearing you say that, I'm thinking like, think about a basketball team again, right? It's like, you get someone who might be, they might not be LeBron, they might not be, and I don't know the basketball players anywhere near as well as you or Farris would. Farris would know fucking all.
Farris would know
every single one. He would know them fucking what school they went to. But they would be on a team who are like, I feel stale here and I'm not going to end up being, like I'm not going to be able to get utilized to the best of my ability on this team, yeah. Right? And imagine how much that would affect someone who is a sales rep or an account manager within your company right now. And they're like, yeah, man, I get my paycheck, but like, I can't see any further than this, right? Like how many people that we spoke to over this week, do you think have ever had someone that has actually been thinking about this stuff? And why do you think it's not happening? Because I'm giving you the answer.
It's just too hard.
But like legitimate, like but why?
It's difficult. When one of the things that I've become very aware of very quickly is when you've got businesses that have high churn rate, when you speak to people that have worked for a couple of different offers, the same things keep happening.
And it is that lack of accountability. There's no accountability. There's no progress. Mm. You are not going to get any better. Another offer doesn't fix that problem. What needs to happen is there needs to be a level of accountability. There needs to be some metric to be reported against. And to go back to the sporting analogy, you'll often see when an athlete breaks a record, and I'll be like, oh, congratulations, you broke this record. Oh, I didn't even know. That is so full of shit. It is absolute bullshit. Every elite athlete knows every number and every stat of their entire career. They know exactly where they're at. Mm-hmm. So they're playing it down when they're getting interviewed before the camera, but I guarantee you they know that today, if I score X points, LeBron, when he broke the all-time scoring record.
Wasn't that just recently?
It was recent.
Yeah.
He knew how many points he needed to score in that game.
To
break that record.
Yeah.
So, you know, anytime you hear an athlete say, oh, really? I wasn't aware of that. They're full of shit. They're playing it down. Any top performer knows their numbers, right? And that's in anything. If you want to succeed and you're in an organization that's not monitoring your performance. And this is the other thing. There's fear around having KPIs of, oh, what if I don't hit it? If you don't hit it, it's because you're not doing what you should do, right? It's a lack of effort. So you think mediocre is going to get you phenomenal results. It's simply not. So when I see someone who's fearful of KPIs, it's often because they're fearful of not
responsibility,
not being able to achieve and being held accountable to a standard that's substandard.
Yeah.
So I guess for business owners, first thing is if you don't have KPIs, you need to start really thinking about it and thinking about it seriously. Because if you're not taking your business as serious as you think. And I think for especially people that work in sales, and all departments should have KPIs, but talking specifically to sales, if you don't have KPIs, you should probably be looking at what's my future look like here and how much growth is there available to me if I'm not even being measured against anything. My thing was a KPI, hit your KPIs, keep your job. You know, that should be the ground. That should be the base level. So anything above and beyond means that's how you become an elite performer, right? So I think that there's a lot of great people out there with amazing talent that just are not being given the opportunity to get too amazing. They're almost being kept back because of a lack of accountability and measuring performance.
To speak to that too, right? I think there's a client that we just took on who like Bitcoin trading, and they were doing like 700 grand months, right? Now they're back down at like 100, 50 to 100. And I was having a chat with him, like the owner, a couple of days ago. I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, run me through your team. Like who's on the team? You know, what's sort of the KPIs like, oh man, you're going to hate me for it. Rah, rah. I'm just like, oh, okay. So,
did you say you're right? I do hate you for it.
I said what I said, right? I said what I said.
You know who you are.
You know, I know who I am. You know, I said what I said, right? Chris Sway that I possibly.
And that hurt. That really, really hurt.
The thing that I discerned at the time was like really good offer at a point in time where there was a bull run. This guy went fucking gangbusters because they were selling like an education portion for the trading space in Bitcoin. And I think what's really interesting about that is like, when the wave settled, cool, yeah, he still had 50 to 100 grand a month. Awesome. Most people would fucking kill to aspire to even be near and close to that in their best day, right? For the majority of the space that we're talking about. But there was a dip of business, and it was like, it's now a tenth of what it could be because the team aren't YOLO. Like, the team is still YOLOing, right? Like, they aren't trying to, because he came in, he's like, yeah, how do we get more leads? I'm like, I don't think that's the thing. I'm like, if you just manage what you do better, and I think the issue is that you need to become better, right? And I think this is something that I think that could be spoken to a fair bit is like, the only way to get the team to perform in that context and make it good and done well is if you become better,
yeah,
right? Because I think, and you'll probably have some experience in at least having observed this or experiencing it within your own experience as well, but how much of it is like people not feeling comfortable holding others accountable? are not holding people to a higher standard because they're scared that they couldn't do it themselves or something to the effect of that, right?
Yeah. There's also the flip side of, I think often, especially when we're starting, when we're first starting business and starting to bring on team, there's quite often a big focus on, I want them to like me as opposed to, I want them to respect me. There's that the old saying, would you rather be liked or respected? I get liked through being respected. That's what I aim for and that's what I aspire to. And it doesn't always work out that way either. But I think that from a leadership perspective, it is super important that, you know, it matters that your team likes you. If they don't like you, they're probably not going to stay around.
Sure.
But if they like you because you can actually help drive them further and develop their career and their skills and their earning potential, I'm pretty comfortable saying they're going to like you a hell of a lot more. They may not like every conversation you have. If they're able to take the lessons away, implement them and be better and, as I said, improve various aspects of their life, in the long run, they're going to like you a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like I've had people I worked for many, many years ago, and I really didn't like them because they would have tough conversations with me. And I think it was probably a maturity thing for me too. I didn't like being criticized all the time. Mm-hmm. But I also look back and some of those conversations were unnecessary, but I look at some of them and I'm like, man, that convo needed to be had.
I needed that, yeah.
And I get it now. So I think that, you know, holding others accountable is holding a standard, and that standard is not just for your benefit as a business owner, it's for the benefit of your team, and it's for their benefit too, because if you can hold them at a higher standard, they're going to be better people, better employees, better contributors to their family, their friends, their society, their communities. So I think that if the fear is around, oh, they may not like me, you've probably got some internal work that you need to take care of as well.
I think that's one portion. The other part is just fucking lack of, fuck you if you think you can just bring on a team and then not think that it's going to take more of you to make this work as opposed to less. I just don't see a world where that's a truth. I think the idea is, or the common thought is like, I'll just delegate it. And when someone just quote unquote delegates it, it's almost like they're trying to release themselves of the responsibility of that actually succeeding.
Yep.
And as a consequence of that, what ends up happening is that person that they delegated it to doing their fucking best, if they're doing their best, right? Because that's a variable too. They're doing their fucking best. Then they bring it to you and you're like, not good enough. It's like, how fucking dare you think that's okay as the owner of that, if that makes sense, right? An analogy that I was throwing around for a little while there for how stupid I think some people are when they're hiring appointments, that is like they will hire and give, the analogy was like they'll hire a chef and give them a kitchen with no electricity, with no utensils, a faint idea of what they want cooked and no money for ingredients and no ingredients. Mm. They're like, and I want you to do this for $3 an hour.
If you're good.
If you're good, right?
If your first week, you hit this many meals.
and then that person, being as creative as they are, will go out and hustle to finding, because remember, you told them a very vague meal plan. You told, I want a Thai meal, right? They've gone out and found a recipe for Penang curry. They found the coconut cream, they found the rice, they found the chicken, they found this, they found that.
You eat a lot of Penang curry, don't you?
It's the first time I've ever spoken about Penang curry in my life, but that's all Thai meals and you fucking know it. It's all of them.
Yep.
All of them. Satay skewers is all I really care about, right? It's all I really care about. But then they do this with the best that they can, and then they bring it to you and then you go, this isn't what I fucking wanted. And then you're the one that goes, ah, all chefs, all appointment setters, yep, all sales reps, all this. And you fucking generalize like the monkey that you are, not even a good monkey. and you sit there and say like, yeah, they're all fucked. I'm like, pardon? Mm. As opposed to the equal and opposite is that you get the person in the kitchen, you make sure that they have every utensil that they need to fulfill on the meal that you've very clearly articulated they want done. given them the ingredient list, given them the process and how to do so, and then said, this is everything. Add your flair to it though, right? And can you have it done by 3 p.m. today? There's a deadline, so they know when to be done by. There's exactly what needs to be done. There is, and then even a channel for like, hey, I'm having some trouble with this.
Yep.
Can you help me out, right? Yep. But the common thinking, like, this is not just newer business owners. This is ones that were doing the 700 grand a month. They were like, we'll just chuck bodies in there, expecting it to work out. You ever had that yourself?
A few times. One of the things that I learned probably not all that long ago, to be fair, was in your business, all success is because of your team and all failure is because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to view business like that, I started to take a hell of a lot more responsibility about setting my team up to win.
Mm-hmm.
And KPIs are a major part of that. But obviously, you know, if we're talking salespeople, we're talking sales process, training, development, giving them clarity, like you were saying with the chef. Like a chef can't prepare you a meal unless you give them clarity on what meal do you want.
Yeah, is it curry? Is it this? Yeah. Is it that? Like,
if there's no...
Do you have allergy?
Yeah, like, you know, if you're eating Thai food and you've got a peanut allergy, shit out of...
You're fucked.
So, yeah, but it's those types of things that can determine the success and or failure of your team, but more so your business in general.
Yeah.
You know, I, like, again, going back to these guys that we're interviewing, like, I remember we laughed at the end of a couple of, we did a day where there's a series of interviews and we just looked at each other and laughed and went, how the fuck don't these guys have KPIs? What the hell? You know, it shows us that just because the perception is that they're big and successful, it doesn't mean that they're running a good business. You know, a good sign of a business too is your ability to retain talent, right? If you want people to stay working for you, there's got to be clarity on their journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be clarity on their current function and any future functions. There's got to be clarity on expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity is so vital to the retention of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's actually one of the key, like it's one of the biggest key pieces.
Yeah.
Clarity wins.
Yeah. Give someone clarity and you will typically, provided you're paying them a fair salary as well. So clarity and a shit salary is probably
$3 an hour is right. $3 an hour and is usually about the right.
$3.50, but when we look at these things, they may seem almost so basic, but you get the basics right.
Yeah.
Fancy shit only becomes useful when the basics are done right.
Yeah.
Like you look at, again, going back to basic sporting analogy, when you look at someone like Kobe,
mm-hmm.
you know, 300 free throws a day, like that guy was obsessed with just getting the basics right. He'd do basic handling drills, basic passing drills, because he wanted to be perfect at the basics.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got him to the levels that he got to. If you look at any athlete, I mean, Tom Brady, like he got the basics right. Not the biggest arm, not the strongest, definitely not the fastest, was not the most athletically gifted and comes out and he's the GOAT. Like when he was drafted, no one looked at him and went, this guy is going to be the GOAT. He said to Robert Kraft, I will be the greatest signing you've ever made.
Something I really like about Brady too is his, I listened to an interview with him and Patrick Bet-Dave and he's like, I just wanted to be better than yesterday.
Yep.
Right? Like that, because I never wanted to be the best. I never wanted this. Like I just wanted to be better than yesterday because I already knew I was good.
Mm.
Right? Like, I just want to be better than yesterday, better than yesterday, better than yesterday, right? And I think when it comes to tracking variables and having the numbers is not just because you should track your fucking numbers, right? Like, it's because if you, like for yourself, you want to know, well, if I want my business to perform at a much better rate, right? What levers do we need to pull and what levers should we pull to do so? Because I think there's obviously the variables that you can pull upon too, right? Or like, I think when you don't have those available to you and it's not true and accurate data, you don't get the privilege of discerning what action needs to be focused on because otherwise you'll always be susceptible to doing the thing that you feel is the most emotionally pulling to you right now at the same time as well, right? Like, what's the biggest fire? When in reality, like you might feel like it's a huge fire because you have an emotional response and reaction to that, but the numbers say, just keep doing it.
Yeah.
just keep doing the thing.
Often too, the biggest fires are sparked by the simplest things.
Mm-hmm.
Like
oh, we're not closing enough deals. Well, why is that? Mm-hmm. Our closer isn't performing. Or well, how many sales calls did he have? Oh, I don't know.
How many of those did you review?
Cool. So you don't know how many were done, but you're going to blame that individual. There's so many simple things that can stop fires from happening.
Sure.
If you're addressing them early enough. You know, we obviously this morning we went through the performance of the business, and there's a few things there that we looked at, and then we just reverse engineered. Right. Yep. Well, how many leads, how much outreach needs to happen? Of those, we know that we'll get this many people that will do a triage, da, 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 and we basically just mapped it out. Yep. Then we can sit down with the team and go, right, this is what each individual's activity needs to be. And as long as the conversion rates stay where they are, we will achieve this result. We do that off the back of the KPIs. The KPIs now are, for this week, this is what needs to happen. KPIs will measure all the activity that needs to happen, which will drive you towards the goal. Without them, how do you come up with a solution? We need to close more deals is not a solution. It's a statement.
I think the other variable there too, right, is like, if they're going to work for you, right, they need to trust you. And I think in order for you to be able to discern this stuff and be able to look through it in such a way where you're going to help ID the issues for them, you actually have to get good at this stuff yourself too, in a lot of scenarios. Otherwise, you can just come to us and pay us a dick load of money and we'll help you out. It's so worth it for you. The main reason I say that is because, like, if all things aren't going well, hop on calls yourself and show them. You don't have to close the person. All you need to do is show them what running your process looks like when you don't fuck it up.
Yep.
Right? So they can go, oh, that's how you actually do it. Yep. Right? The likelihood of doing that is probably going to show you that you're going to get the deal closed anyway. Right? But it's the bigger positive consequence is that they see and go, I've been doing it so wrong. Or I didn't even know that that was the thing that I should be focusing on, or whatever else that it is. And now I trust you enough to say, yes, you can help me do this at the same time too, right?
Yep.
Just want to delegate, right? Whereas when it comes to like a sales function, or even like for us, for account management and client success, like I'm forever on calls with Faris or Steven or whatever else. It's like, hey, how can I help? Like what account needs the most of my attention right now? Because I'm dedicated to making sure that there's nothing that has a stone that could or should be turned over that hasn't been done yet. For the big rocks, the small ones, like there's always going to be a million minor problems. But if you don't have your finger on the pulse and don't actually have, I guess, your own, it's not skin in the game, but your own skill in the game, right? Then it's really easy for your guys, even if you have the best KPIs and the best feedback, that they're like, yeah, but you wouldn't do it. Fuck you.
This.
That's like fucking, all right, buddy, no problem. And the other reason I like doing, taking calls and doing stuff that has to do with sales activity or client activity too, is because I like adding to our playbook. Playbook, for those of you who aren't grown up in business yet, is something that you would have that would be like a, not an ingredient list, but it's part of the cookbook. Right? It's like the sales cookbook, if that makes sense. And you always want to update the recipes to make sure it's a better fit, gluten-free, yeah, fucking celiac, whatever else that it is, for each different objection that comes through or each different challenge you experience or whatever it might be. Like that needs to be updated so someone else can come through and say, ah, that's how you cook it. And here's an example of what it looks like. And have a taste tester, right?
How good's a taste test? It's interesting. With delegation, I think a really important thing to remember is anytime that you look at delegation, rather than calling it delegate, if you rephrase it to develop, what it does is it creates an opportunity for you to go, if I'm going to hand this over, this is a development opportunity for the person that I'm delegating it to. Mm-hmm. So now I'm developing this individual. I implemented this with a business that I was coaching a while back, and it was quite interesting to see how it played out, because the team there were really struggling. Like they're very key person dependent. And for those that don't know what that means, it means that there's one person.
Does everything.
The business is so reliant on that one person. And that person was at burnout. They were quite unwell. So we needed to basically systemize the business. When we started to look at delegation as development, what it did is it empowered both the delegator and the delegatee into, I'm now developing this person. The person that's being delegated is like, I'm now getting this opportunity And what ended up happening is we're able to systemize the entire business, which then we found a lot of inefficiencies through that key person dependency, because that's how they'd always done it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't necessarily the best way to do it, but that's just how they did it. They were programmed to do it and they could do it on autopilot. When we found those inefficiencies, we were able to see all these upswings in the business, which affected both top and bottom line revenue. Mm-hmm. So that all come off the back of delegate. So if you're in a position within your business where you're looking to delegate tasks and duties to your team, you need to look at it as development for them, but also development of you, because you will start to see your own processes that you're delegating off. Maybe there's an inefficiency here, or they may come to you with fresh eyes and go, hey, why do we do it that way?
Sure.
Which then poses the question of why do we do it that way?
Sure.
So just food for thought on delegation and development of team members as well, because we build team to share the workload around, but the more effectively you share that workload around, the better the overall result for the business as well.
And also in the development portion, it's about developing them to be the closest that they can be to their own version of the Michael Jordan too, right? Because like no one wants to be in an environment where they aren't challenged in some way, shape and form. Yeah. You can still fuck that up, even if you're really good at it at the same time as well, right? Like there are many ways you can still fuck that up at the same time too. But if there isn't a focus on it at all, that's where the biggest issue is, because like that's why these guys are coming to us saying, hey, I'd rather work for you guys because at least you're going to challenge me, right? Like,
oh, challenge me. No.
I have fairly high standards and I make sure that everyone holds those. And then we as a team make sure that there's never anything that anyone feels uncertain on, if that makes sense. And if you just strip away the uncertainties, I think all you're left with is like, I know what to do now. But that comes through knowing exactly what you should and shouldn't do, right? Because, you know, going through a bunch of calls that I listened to in the week, and then I gave you a call, I'm like, hey, this is what's fucking happening. I was like, oh, we shouldn't be asking people to come to a call who aren't fucking qualified, right? Which isn't a right or wrong. It's just like we needed to ID at that point. Like, why is this happening, right? And it turns out that the rep that we had doing that was just burnt out for the week, right? And he was just like trying to make anything happen, as opposed to being, as you defined before, as efficient, right? So efficacy was destroyed. And as a consequence of efficacy being destroyed, he's like, I just need to hit a number. A number being hit meant stacks of people who weren't the right fit. And as a consequence of that, mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, we always say, take the shot, shoot the shot, shoot a shoot. But sometimes take the right shot.
Yep.
You know, sometimes we can just take a shot to take a shot. So, you know, there does need to be some discernment in the, you know, in the individual to go, is this the right shot to be taking right now? Or am I better off to use the sporting analogy, pass it off to a teammate? Am I better off to, you know, drop this opportunity for the greater opportunity? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's still, going back to the autonomy conversation, there's still some autonomy there. The person that's in that function, they still need to be able to discern, is this the right decision? Mm-hmm. Is this the right direction that I'm taking this? So, you know, shoot a shoot, take the shot, but make sure that you're taking the right shot.
The other things that I think will be worth mentioning here too, right, is like good reps are not going to work in a company that don't have the ability to challenge them long-term. Good businesses are, even if you have your own metaphorical best offer in the world and bull run that has a time limit on it until that ends up becoming nothing, if you don't have your accountability, because I call the KPIs like accountability checkpoints too, right? It's like if you don't have that even for yourself in place, then how can you be so convinced that your probability of getting anywhere that you want to go is really high, right? Like another great example is when, you know, you and I first met, very both into fitness, and like everything was like tracking weights, tracking fucking calories or macros or whatever the flavor of the week that was at that point in time was.
Still do it all too.
Yeah, same. Steps.
Steps is a newer thing, but I'm measuring it.
But the thing is, it's like all the people that are talking to us and saying, yep, don't have KPIs, don't have this. I bet you they could tell you, how many steps they've done, because they track, like, this is very well known industry, like industry stuff that, you know, personal development is a big thing in the business space now, right? Because business is the best personal development program outside relationships.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a part of business too, and that's a different fucking...
Join us next week.
Yeah. But the whole idea there is, like, without those things, like, you already have the people doing the tracking of these things in the first place, but the one area where they actually need to use it for the benefit of someone else, they never do it. You're losing good existing and future team members as a consequence of that happening. Mm-hmm. And if you're not at the stage of having a big team just yet, this is the call to action to get your head out of the sand, because it's highly unlikely that they're going to want to join, good team are going to want to join a team where there isn't a very clear cut what's the standard. I just think if you don't, I'll call it, you're a fucking idiot, right? Like, you can't play the game if you don't know what the scoreboard looks like.
Yep.
Right?
You'll get an encouragement award at best.
An encouragement award inside your bank account doesn't fucking look good.
Yeah,
the banks are not very encouraging when it comes to encouragement awards.
You ain't paying your rent, you ain't buying a house, you ain't going on holidays. You're getting a pat on the back from, you know, your friend saying, you tried really hard.
I think that'll be it for today. The whole idea was just, we have people coming to us from what known as good companies, and you have people wanting to leave consistently, which tells me they probably have a very, very, very consistent turnover rate within that. And that could be completely mitigated if they just had these things in place, and probably be 3 or 4 times bigger than they are right now at the same time too. And for the people who aren't just there, you need to grow the fuck up and deal with this, or accept the fact that you're never going to get as big as you want to go, right? That's kind of the main thing.
Absolutely.
Anything else to make fun of people at before we go?
No, man, I think we've covered it. Might have hurt some feelings. I'd say sorry, but that would be a lie. I'm accepting responsibility for that not being true.
Track your fucking numbers.